Okay. Oh boy, one bar in the battery. We're going to go through the book of 1 John. We're going to go one chapter at a time. And this morning, since the first chapter is short, it gives me a little bit of time to do a little bit of introduction so you kind of know what you are looking at. And if you're here and you don't have a Bible, we always have Bibles here in the bookshelf. There's one there right now. Please feel free to grab it so that you can have something to look at. But we're going to start something new. Now, I don't know about you, but I've said this before, some of you have heard this, but I don't come to church to hear the opinions of someone else. I come to church to connect with the God of the Bible, right? Now, that's why it's called City Bible Church. We're in the city. We believe in the God of the Bible. So we're going to go to 1 John in just a moment, but I want to open up with a quick word of prayer and give you some introduction, okay? Father God, I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for your word that you have given us, that you have given us something that we can learn from. And we believe that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts and that your ways are higher than our ways. And so we come this morning to learn from your word. We ask that you would help us to not only be hearers of the word, but also to be doers. We thank you for who you are and for all that you have done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if we were to kind of summarize the book, the title that we're going to be working from is Walk in Light and Walk in Love. But I don't know if you've ever had this experience when you've gone to the Bible and tried to get something out of it. Maybe you get a little confused, a little frustrated, and you feel like you don't know the rest of the story, or you feel like you don't know the beginning of the story. That's easy to happen. And so what I want to do for you this morning is give you a little bit of introduction so that you can kind of get a sense of what's going on. Does that make sense? Now, I think it's really helpful when you do any sort of Bible study to ask those basic questions. Who, what, where, when, how, why? Does that make sense? You need to have, what is going on? It's hard to understand if you're reading, in particular in this case, when you're reading a letter from one person to another, you're missing out on some stuff. Does that make any sense to you? Right? And so we need to learn a little bit. So what I want to do is give you like a microwave version instead of a, because we really could talk for hours about what's going on behind the scenes here, kind of a microwave version of what's going on. Now, first of all, you need to understand that 1 John is one of the books of the Bible that's written as a circulating letter. So a circulating letter is not really something that you get today. This is totally different than even chain mail, okay? Or chain SNEMA email. It's totally different. This is a letter that was written from one person that other people wanted to hear from, and a letter that was meant to be passed around. And they would make multiple copies of this, and it would go from one place to another. Okay? You got to kind of put yourself in the ancient life and what was going on at this time in history. At this time in history, if you were kind of the average person in this room, you would not be traveling by car. You would not be traveling even by horse, probably. If you wanted to go from one city to the next, you were most likely walking. How many of you are ready to walk to Washington, D.C.? Not me. Okay? Only 35 miles from here to the mall on the Capitol, you know, where the Washington Monument, the Capitol building, only 35 miles, but I don't know about you, especially with my bum knee, I'm not walking to D.C. today. And so because of that, and yet there was trade, there was shipping, trade was starting to take off, and different things were going on. Mail was transferred from one place to another. And so people would get a letter and it would be something that they would read. Now, the other thing is they didn't have a computer on their phone in their pocket, right? They didn't have a TV. They didn't have an iPad. And so there was a little bit less to do at night. They were a little bit more likely to maybe, when it got dark, light the candle, sit around and talk for a while, and then go to sleep. It wasn't this, okay, it's dark, now I'm going to watch 4 hours of TV. You know, the last muscle in your body to go to sleep is the thumb that's clicking the remote, right? Must keep watching. I want to go to bed. I must keep watching TV. I must find something blowing up, right? That's not the way of the ancient life. They woke up when the sun got up. And then relatively soon after it went down, they went to bed. You should try it sometime. It's really different. Right? So it's a different way. So this is a circulating letter. So this is something that would be read and reread and reread and talked about and discussed. And something, does this making sense? Okay, good. All right. So it's a circulating letter. Now, who is it written to? What is going on? Now, this is the basic part of the world that we're dealing with right here. You probably recognize Spain, right? And Italy. You got the little stiletto boot going on there, right? Now, Jerusalem is over here. Can you see that? Okay, so that's where Jerusalem is. And then Ephesus is up here. Okay? Now, John, which John are we talking about? We are talking about John, one of the disciples. And so if you read the stories in the Bible, you'll read a few occasions where Jesus takes off with Peter, James, and John. Okay? So this is that John. This is John, the brother of James, had the nickname the Sons of Thunder. Okay? Which is different than the James that's behind this book, who was the brother, the biological brother of Jesus. Okay? This is not, he's different, he's brother with a different James, common names. Right? Jimmy! So this is John, the brother of James. They had the nicknames the Sons of Thunder. Their parents, Zebedee, if you will, were ones that financially supported some of Jesus' expenses as he was traveling. Now that's interesting because through John's mother, he was a cousin to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but if one of my cousins, and they're nice people, said that they were the Son of God, I'm not too sure about that. Hello?
Yeah.
So for Jesus' family members, John, his brother James, and his parents, to agree, yes, we believe that you are the Son of God, there's something going on there, right? Now, this is the same John who wrote the book of John that you have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? Starts off with, in the beginning was the Word, right? This is that John, and also the same John who wrote Revelation, which the proper title of that is the Revelation of Jesus, because that's how he opens it. So, we'll get back to that later. So, this is that John, so to speak. It's also the John that people refer to as John the Beloved, because you have that picture of him leaning on Jesus at the Last Supper and him being very close relationally and loving Jesus. Okay? So that's the John that we're talking about. Now, this John, after Jesus, right? Jesus is crucified 3 days, resurrected from the dead. And what do we see in the book of Acts, right? In Jerusalem, we have 3,000 people come to faith. Wow. Craziness. Now, what happens relatively quickly is that Peter is the pastor of that church. And as all churches do, including this church, we have elders. John is one of the elders of that church. He's one of the overseers of this church, immediately 3,000 people. Now, you might be here because you like a small church. I've got news for you. It won't always be that way. It was quite a bit bigger last Sunday, but no. John is one of the overseers of this church. They're feeding widows. They're feeding the poor. They're doing stuff right away, very, very quickly. Now, at the time of this letter is written between 85 and 90 A.D. Okay? So, you know, just under 2,000 years ago is when he writes this letter. Now, what we're not sure is if he was in Jerusalem or if he was in Ephesus when he wrote this letter. Now, I want to explain why that's important. What had happened was people had started to come to faith in Jesus all across this region. Okay? Now, as we look across this whole area, that people had started to come to faith in Christ all through here. So this is including the area that's now Greece and Italy and all across. Now, I want you to kind of get a feel for why that's important, okay? So let's start off with, come on, you can do it, Jerusalem. This is what Jerusalem used to look like, okay? This is ancient Jerusalem. You see an artist rendering of Solomon's temple. You see one of the theaters. You see the walls. You see, I mean, that's pretty grand, right? A pretty grand scale. This was not small town, right? This was a city. this was a city where people debated, where people discussed, where there was art, where there was sport, where there was culture, where there was life, where there was all different kinds of ethnicities living in one city, where you could get food from over here and food from way back over there, and a lot of different flavors all in one city. It's a very international city, like Baltimore, D.C., New York, not like Nashville, not like St. Louis. Well, there's some good Italian food in St. Louis. I shouldn't bash it. Kansas City, where my mom's from, not like that. This is an international city with flavor, okay? This is what Jerusalem looks like today, okay? So this is a city that has flavor, people of all different kinds of, you have very, very poor, very, very rich, very, very educated, very much not so educated, right? Like in math, I'm still in diapers compared to Chris, right? Mathematically, I'm like way back here. So here we are in the same room, educationally diverse. That's what was going on in this city, okay? Now, Ephesus is a port city. And you can go back to some of our previous series, we went through Ephesians. Ephesus is a port city. It's a very important city. Okay? It's not Jerusalem, so it's not the center of Judaism. Okay? Or of, think Old Testament. Right? The Torah, where the Talmud was, you know, eventually came out of. This was not the center of that faith. This was a very much, think more Western European in its flavor. And diversity of cultures, very different culturally. And so what you'd have be more likely to have, there were, of course, Jews living here at this point, but you'd also be more likely to have pagans living here. And by that, I mean like the actual use of the word, paganism, a different kind of worship. And so completely different philosophies. Now, this is what Ephesus looks like today. You see a cruise ship there. Obviously, that wasn't there when John was there, right? You know, Caribbean and, you know, Norwegian and all the other cruise lines, they weren't there. So that's a little bit about what it looked like. But Ephesus now is actually not quite as impressive as Ephesus was then. Okay? In ancient times, Ephesus was the central city for trade in the region. Basically, you had a whole lot of cities doing stuff over here and a whole lot of cities doing stuff over here. And if you wanted to ship something from here to there, you had to go through Ephesus. Okay? Ephesus was central for trade, but it also meant that people, even people that didn't have a whole lot of education, got wealthy. And so they spent a lot of time in like, this is the theater, this is how it looks today. This is not an artist rendering, a 25,000 seat theater that they built, that they used for sport, for theater, for music, for debate. Every day of the week, you could go there and there'd be someone talking about something. There would be something happening. Okay, there was always something. That's kind of why I like living in this neighborhood, not so much today with no electricity. But since we live just three blocks south of here, I like living here because in our neighborhood, there's something going on every day. You might not like it, but there's something going on every day. So both of these cities, you had great diversity of people. Are you starting to kind of get the feel? Right, there was a lot going on. And it was an exciting time to be alive because these cities, the trade and everything that was going on, this had really only just taken off in part because of two things, okay? We're almost done with the history lesson. You're doing great. Rome had come in and conquered a bunch of smaller countries, so to speak, okay? It used to be where we could walk from here to D.C. and you'd have three different languages spoken, okay? And you'd have gangs and armies, and you could not safely or easily travel. It would be like, you don't get in your car and go on 95, you're walking, okay? And you're walking on little roads where it's really easy for you to get ambushed and robbed, okay? Rome comes through, and they conquer everybody. They literally start to wipe out gangs. Like, within Jesus' lifetime, there was one gang leader. They crucified him and 2,000 of his followers on the road between where Jesus lived and another city. Okay, Rome was hardcore, right? And then what they did, aqueducts, right? Of course, we love to talk about that. And roads, right? They built roads. And so now I could get on 95. If I could get the money, scrap, you know, get a car, I could go on 95. Now, what the Greeks did when the Greeks came in and they had full control of everything that was going on, they cared about their culture. And so what they did is they taught everybody the same language. So it went from you, like, I have to walk over this hill and now I have to learn a new language, to I can drive through seven hills and everybody's speaking the same language. Is this helping?
Yeah.
Okay. So now what also was going on is that the Greeks wanted to spread their culture. So that's when you had great, huge theatrical plays being put on and music being put on and all different kinds of sport. They're just making stuff up, right? I mean, that's what was going on. And so this was an exciting time to be alive because all of that had just taken place. Don't you know that God knew what he was doing when he sent Jesus to come to the earth? There was a lot going on in what we call the 400-year silence between the last prophecy and the end of the Old Testament to when Jesus is on the scene and we get the beginning of the New Testament. There was a lot going on. God was literally paving roads. He was making it possible so that at this point when they come through, he can send a letter, it can go safely and quickly, and everybody can read it, and now we go from being able to influence 200 people to hundreds of thousands of people, and literally most of the then known civilized world. Wow. Now, can you imagine what John would feel like, John and Peter and Paul, if they were alive today with the internet? I'm sorry, but we would feel lazy, right? They would be putting out stuff like crazy. Okay, now, okay, just wanted to kind of get you up to speed a little bit there. So these are cities. These are cities. He's writing a letter to believers in cities. We know that he was for years in Jerusalem and for years in Ephesus, right, before he's on the island where he gets the vision for the book of Revelation. So now why this letter? What is he addressing? What's going on? I'm so glad you asked. So what's going on at this point is that in their churches, they had gone from church being, okay, here's all these people that have said, I believe in Jesus. Okay, I believe in Jesus. I repent of my sin. I turn away from my past. I'm baptized in water. I'm here. You know, as far as we can tell, at least half of them get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're speaking in tongues. They're coming together. They're sharing food in houses. People are getting healed. People are getting raised from the dead. And here's how we do church. We come together in our houses during the week, and we gather once a week in a public place, whatever place we can find that will fit us. That's how they were doing church. Now, what had developed, here we are, 85, 90 years after Christ, is now we had more of what's common in the U.S. You have people that their view of church and Christianity is that I show up for an event. Okay? Now, if that's the way you feel, like, listen, I'm not coming down on you. That's just not what Christianity is in the Bible. Okay? That's a different deal. You have a personal relationship with Jesus and with God, and God gives you open, free access. You can talk to him. And he talks back. Right, that's what following God means. And so what had happened there is that now, okay, now we have thousands of people that are showing up for the show because they're curious. That's not bad. God wants that. God wants anyone. Do you believe this? God wants anyone and everyone to show up to what we call church. Right? We gather here, building or not, whatever, outdoors, in a park, not today. Okay? He wants anyone and everyone to show up because God created every human. Every human carries the image of God. You are a child of God. He loves you and he wants you to be in relationship with him. No matter what your junk, no matter what's going on, come on, this is good stuff. No matter what's going on in your life, God wants you to come to him. So that good stuff was going on. But what was happening in their gatherings that you need to know before we're going to read this, I promise, is that there were new ideas that were circulating that were being mixed with the truth, that were being mixed with what Jesus had said and what the disciples, the apostles, were teaching. There was new ideas. You had people that are coming in that had grown up in what you now today might call Orthodox, Hasidic, practicing Jewish background, right? Which we have here in Baltimore City, one of the most densely populated Jewish populations in the U.S., right? There were people that were coming out of the Jewish faith into Christianity. Now, I've had great and deep friendships with Messianic Jews, Jews that came out of practicing only Judaism to now believing the whole Bible and coming into rejecting the Talmud, which was written by men, which is not in the Bible, right? That to a new faith. Now, what they were doing is they were bringing some of their own thinking, and there's, we're not going to get into all this, okay? But they were bringing some of their old practices, their old ways, their old thinking, some legalism, some just different kinds of like, you got to prove it, you got to show it, and you need to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right? I mean, you understand that on the Sabbath, they couldn't even turn on a light switch. Okay, now Jesus didn't say that. Now, he didn't say, I come to get rid of the Old Testament. What did he say? I didn't come to abolish, I came to fulfill. Right? And so we had Jewish people, whether they were believers or not, now coming into the church because it's a force and it affects the economy. And they want to be able to buy and sell. And so this is a big deal. So whether they were believers or not, they were coming in, they were bringing in new ideas. Okay? Now, the other thing that we had going on at the same time is we had pagans. Okay? You're talking about some animal sacrifice, some really weird sexual stuff, some all different kinds of festivals and things going on. And some of them coming in as believers, some of them coming in not as believers. You didn't know you were coming to seminary today, did you? No. Coming into the church with new and different ideas. Now, that's all fine if they come to learn from Jesus. But what started to change was that some of them started to set themselves up as experts. You familiar with that word? It's like every talking head on TV is an expert, right? Some of them started to set themselves up as experts or knowing ones, where we get the word Gnostic and Gnosticism, okay? And this is what John is writing about. And if you don't have some idea of Gnosticism and everything I just explained, you are going to be in the dark about some of this stuff that we're going to read, okay? And so you had people coming into the church abroad in the city saying, hey, we know it all. We know more than you. Talking about the disciples, the pastors, the elders, and even just the normal Christians. They were setting themselves, hey, we know more than you. You need to come and you need to learn from us. Now, one of the things that we know from historical documents that they were teaching that John directly addresses in chapter 1 that we're going to read today is that they were teaching that, yes, Jesus was divine. He was the Son of God. But no, he was not human. Okay? So this is being openly taught in the church by these new experts, these knowing ones, know-it-alls, we like to say. He was, yes, he's the Son of God. He was a deity, like he was a hologram. Like some of the movies you see about him is ridiculous. He looks like an alien walking around, just like totally unrealistic, right? Yes, he was a deity, was the Son of God, but no, he was not fully human. Okay? That was one of the things that was being taught. Are you ready to read? Okay, let's read, because I think this is a good time for us to dig in. Okay, so 1 John, chapter 1 is just 9 verses, and, you know, he didn't write chapters or verses, but, you know, people put it in later to make it easier for us to find stuff. Okay, so 1 John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, I'm going to read from the New Living this morning. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us. We proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God. That's right. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Whew. Amen to the word of God. Now, I hope that this little introduction that I gave you helps that make a little bit more sense. Okay, so let's break it down a little bit and just digest. Just as a sidebar, if you're preparing yourself, and I really would hope that you would bring a pen and paper or something that you can, a digital thing you can thumb punch notes into, because if you don't write stuff down, you forget 95% of it. And I'm really not into doing church for just doing church. It's not my deal. So if we break down the letter, chapters 1 and 2, the theme is God is light. Okay? Chapters 3 and 4, God is love. Chapter 5, God is life. Now also mixed into this is the theme of God's agape love and a very real, down-to-earth, everyday advice for how we relate to each other under his agape love, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, so it should be a really good, easy tie-in for you. So God is light, God is love, God is life. But this is not just cotton candy popcorn a mile wide and an inch deep. This stuff is rich, it's deep, it's something you can sink your teeth into, and it's something that will make a difference in your life. Amen?
Amen.
So we got to remember when you're reading this, who is writing it, what are they writing about, who are they writing to, and what's going on. Okay? So that's why all of our background is important. Now, what is it about? Jesus, right? We're coming up on almost 100 years from when Jesus had walked the earth. John is writing a letter to people who believed in Jesus, people who followed Jesus. Now, where were you 90 years ago? Not here. Right?
Yeah.
You know, these guys.